Verse 3, I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment that was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. My text tonight, my message from God unto thee is, forgive him. Two barbers in a little western Oklahoma town, brothers, had always worked in the same barber shop. Christians, Pentecostal. One day they fell out. One brother moved down the street and started his own barber shop. The other one stayed. One day the one that moved down the street realized that his hair was getting long and he needed a haircut. And his brother was the only one that had ever cut his hair. He tucked it out, tufted it out for a few days, and finally he closed the doors, and down the street he went, and walked in now his brother's barbershop, and he said, I need a haircut. He sat down in the chair, and his brother took the towel and put it around his neck. And that's as far as he'd got. His arms fell around his brother, and they wept. They were forgiven by each other. Amen. I've been here long enough to see so many of you grow up and with stars in your eyes and dreams in your heart of a future. And finally at last in a beautiful wedding with all the flowers, the cake, the preacher, the gifts. You had the big wedding and said, I do. Oh, you were so dizzy from the activity of it, you hardly realized what you were repeating in your wedding vows. And finally, one morning, you woke up and decided, I've just taken on one of the biggest jobs I've ever took on. And that's living with this woman the rest of my life, or this man the rest of my life. Amen. Look around you tonight, every happy family that you see tonight that you envy. Amen. Nancy came to see us years ago. Nancy was my wife's little niece, Leroy, her oldest brother's girl. She was the oldest girl of Leroy. We watched Nancy grow up. Amen. Eventually, she married Brother Smith. Amen. And he worked in the steakhouse there, run the steakhouse, managed the steakhouse in Granite City. Amen. We saw their home fall apart. We saw her life in smithereens. And now she drives all the way out here to see us. She comes to the house, and my wife greets her, and she talks to her motor horse. LL at and said he's out in the garden, and so she ran all the way out to the garden and hugged my neck, and she was glad to see us, and she said, most of all, I envy your happy home. Amen. You know how a man and wife lives together for 50 years, 60 years, 75 years, and they seem to have the utmost happiness. And what Christmases they have when all the children come home. What Thanksgivings they have when all the children come home. What family gatherings they have, and what times they have at birthday time. And oh, they are the envy of those who go down the trail of broken hearts. I'll tell you why. You took the trail of broken hearts. Amen. You are not willing to forgive. You see, down this road of life, it's so rough, and there's so much misunderstanding, and we're so much flesh and so prone to be selfish, that every time, in every life, in every home, someone must sometime or other give in. And you know what? We who are the biggest at heart should be the first to forgive. Because the bigger you are, the better you do it. And the better you demonstrate it to others. Hallelujah. Forgive him. Forgive her. Forgive him tonight. Forgive her tonight. Forgive her in the morning. Forgive him in the morning. Amen. Ah, some of you have passed that age of sweet 16 and celebrated this weekend, or this week and this weekend. Amen. And oh, you're just like Joanna here. Amen. You got stars and a hope chest. Amen. Ah, yes. And someday you'll meet that Prince Charming. At least you knew there never was a human being, amen, as charming as he was in this world. Amen. Until after you had been married 6 months and the flame burned low, amen, and you found out there's a whole lot of forgiving to do. One husband said, I'll tell you how we'll do it. Wife, we'll make it. If I come home with my hat on backwards, you know I've had a bad day. And said, don't cross me. And said, if I come on and you got your apron on backwards, he said, I know you've had a bad day and I'll not cross you. Amen. And they did fine doing that till one day he came on with his hat on backwards and she had her apron on backwards. Amen. What do you do in a case like that? You forgive. Forgiving entails forgetting also. The real meaning of forgiving means to give up resentment against. Do that tonight. You'll sleep better. Woo, glory to God. Yes, give up resentment against that one that you hold so aloof from you. Praise God. Oh, you'll have better dreams tonight. Amen. John said he dreamed I was dressed in black. I was a U.S. Marshal of bygone years with a black hat and a black cape. And he said you was catching the criminals, and said, I dreamed you was after me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. We're not as bad as we look. Because sometimes we who seem to be the most hard-nosed, I think that's the term Geronimo used last night, hard-nosed about holiness, amen, hallelujah. So you'll find that some of us who are the most hard-nosed, the Don Riches of the country, praise God, that are noted for preaching a little holiness, amen. You'll find that they are also kings when it comes to forgiving. Because in order to deal with people, in order to be a success in life, you got to forgive. Amen. Amen. My dad had took his own life. He told me different times, he said, I can't live for God. He felt like he'd gone too far. He had a second family, and because of that, and he knew that most of the folks around there knew about his escapades of the past, I don't think Dad could face up. And so he wouldn't go to church with me, hardly locally, down home. If I could have got him to stay here, I could have probably helped him. But now he's lying cold and still. Amen. His children from that other relationship, not a marriage, but a relationship, they came to the funeral. One of them, Dale Kester, a General Baptist, Free Will Baptist preacher. He's been here and preached for us. Nobody knew. He was my half-brother. Amen. Dale was there at the funeral, sitting way back by where Brother Shockley sat. I went back and shook his hand. All the children were there on the seat. I said, you're welcome to come on and sit with us if you want to. He said, we'll just stay back here. Amen. We don't want to wait too long to forgive. Tomorrow we'll be looking down on somebody's cold face. We'll forgive then, but it won't do them any good. Amen. We don't want to wait too long to release our resentments and all our stigmas and hang-ups. Amen. I want you to know that they couldn't, nobody have done much worse for the church of the living God in Corinth than this man that Paul's talking about. He said his sin was so bad, he said that it was not even named among the Gentiles that a man should have his father's wife. With tears and affliction and grief in his heart, Paul wrote in the first Corinthian letter, amen, to gather together in the power of the Spirit and turn him over to Satan. And that's what they did. They turned him over to Satan. The whole miracle of the thing was that he stayed in the church. Amen. If it had been in our day, he'd have went down the street and found another church before another weekend. But there wasn't no divisions in the church then. It was just the Christians. And you hung together or you hung separately. Amen. And boy, they needed each other. The world hated them and despised them. They had no church building. They was too easy to burn. And so they met in people's houses and yards and fields and had church. Amen. And this poor boy that the whole church had tried and cleared themselves. And Paul said that. What a clearing of yourselves. But a brand new sun has arisen over the Aegean Sea. A brand new day has dawned in old Corinth, that center of all of its false gods and deities. They worship the multi-breasted Aphrodite and all the sex gods of the heathen in Corinth. The amazing miracle of it all was this poor boy in his ignorance that had been led into such deep sin. Amen. Took his whipping. He took his tongue lashing from every member in the church. Amen. He took his chastisement from the pulpit and from Paul's letter himself. And now Paul said, a brand new day has come. It's time to forgive him. How long do you have to wait to forgive? Amen. 1 week? 1 month? 1 year? How long has it been since you've been chewing on your grudge? 2 years? 3? 3 years? 4? 5 maybe? 5, you've been chewing on that, and it gets bigger all the time. It's choking you, choking out your spiritual life, choking out your effectiveness for God. It's choking out your Christian image. Amen. Because God was a good forgiver, or he wouldn't have had anything to do with us. He wouldn't even give me a second hearing. But he was a forgiving God. He's given me a whole bunch of hearings. Amen. Hey, suppose you wait 5 years and you finally decide this has gone far enough. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to forgive Charles Lucas. It's gone far enough. I'm going to treat him just like nothing ever happened. Amen. I'm going to forgive him. Will that be any better than if you'd have done it a week after it happened? A month after it happened? How long do you have to wait to forgive? I'll tell you what you can do. You can give God all the time he needs for chastisement. You can give God all the time he needs. And you can give everybody else all the time they need to. Amen. You know. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this, that, and the other. And hatch up every story in the world. But when it all boils down to it, in the last analysis, if they go to heaven, they're going to have to be forgiven. And if you go to heaven, you're going to have to forgive. Amen. Paul said, forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Amen. Oh, yes. We grew up in a self-centered, affluent, prosperous, lucrative generation where everything's instant. Amen. Not too many kids usually in the family. We never learned to share. So we grew up with plenty and very selfish and very self-centered. And if we're not careful, it'll carry over into our Christian life. There's one thing about large, poor families of bygone years. They did learn to share. Amen. We learned to get by on little. Amen. It helps out when you're preaching the gospel and living by faith to learn that too. Amen. Hey, praise God. In the last analysis, that stuff you went so deep in debt for till you couldn't see out and you couldn't breathe, because it wasn't only up to your neck, it was up to your nose. Amen. It's not so important after all in the last analysis. Huh? We scratch, dig, and vie and fight and entertain envy and jealousy. Amen. And it turns into strife in the church of the living God. Amen. And sisters won't forgive one another. Brothers no longer agree. Amen. When is he coming again? When brother turns against brother and sisters no longer agree. Amen. And a man's enemies are they of his own household. That's when he's coming again. How do we help that? Forgive. The best cure for most every situation that we are faced, particularly in our relations in life, is forgive. Amen. That's my message tonight. That's God's message to somebody in this service tonight. God is saying to you, rather forgive him. Amen. We're in harvest time. I wouldn't want any of you to miss the glory that awaits us. Amen. Ah, yes. I wouldn't want any of you to miss that day when someday I lay down my burden. Amen. Some of these days we're going to lay down our burden, and I don't want to miss it, do you? Amen. I don't want to alienate one person needlessly when forgiveness would do better. Amen. I believe you need to keep your word when you say you'll do it. I think you need to do it or call or apologize or something. We live in a day when nobody keeps their word. Amen. I ordered concrete in Kansas City. 1 o'clock, they said, we'll be there. 1 o'clock with all my help there, Gary. Amen. To pour the floor.